From the Danker Studio on Library Square, this is The Rundown, a live exploration of local news, current events, and issues that matter to you. Coming up on the program, this is the 157th year we've had a state fair, sort of. The fair predates statehood by four decades. We'll talk to the Utah State Fair's Jeff Kooring about what to expect this year, about how the new tracks line could help the event, and about the food.
For example, we have Rocky Mountain oysters.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. chocolate bacon waffles. And then we have some like deep-fried Twinkies, deep-fried Snickers bars, deep-fried bananas. And I'm not sure, but I think we have deep-fried Jell-O again. So anything that you could put in a deep fryer.
That conversation, an audio postcard on Utah's water future, and a summary of today's top local headlines, just ahead on The Rundown on KCPW. And thanks for tuning into KCPW for The Rundown. A little later in the program, we'll speak with Jeff Kooring of the Utah State Fair to get a preview of this year's event, which is in its 157th year. But first, we have this summary of today's top local headlines. Utah lawmakers are seeking offers from private investigators and investigation companies to assist their inquiry into Attorney General John Swallow. A request from the Office of Legislative Research and General Counsel says a special committee of House lawmakers is looking to bring on outside investigators. The Utah House formed the fact-finding committee in July to look into allegations of misconduct that have dogged Swallow since January. Swallow is the subject of federal and state investigations, but has repeatedly denied any wrongdoing. Last week, legislative attorneys announced they'd selected Washington, D.C.-based firm Akin Gump Strauss Hauer and Feld to assist the investigation as special counsel. The House Investigative Committee has held only an introductory meeting so far. Legislative General Counsel John Fellows says the committee may not be ready to call witnesses until November. Utahns use a lot of water. The U.S. Geological Survey estimates domestic water consumption is 186 gallons per person per day, about three bathtubs worth. That's about 40% higher than neighboring states like Arizona, Colorado, and New Mexico. With a population that is expected to increase dramatically over the next few decades, the need for water will only grow. With this in mind, Governor Gary Herbert is doing a listening tour across the state to better understand what Utahns think are the most important water issues we will face. The comments will form the basis of a report to the governor that will be presented in October. The tour was in Salt Lake City Tuesday night, where 80% of the comments focused on the need to better conserve water. KCPW reporter Kim Shusky compiled this audio postcard of what people had to say.
Thank you. I'm Mark Thomas. I'm representing the Mormon Environmental Stewardship Alliance, known as MESA. Conservation should be the primary solution to our growing water needs rather than resorting to major water projects with their risks and their subsidies.
My name is Norman W. Kettner. I'm not here representing anybody except the people of the state of Utah. And we need the water. We need every drop of the Colorado River Basin water for drinking and for food production. There is no good reason to fund an oil shale development where the world is already awash in oil. You can't eat it. You can't drink it.
10 seconds.
And I rest my case.
Good evening. My name is Richard Bay. I'm general manager of Jordan Valley Water Conservancy District. Conservation with reuse and recycling alone cannot meet the needs of our doubling population. Many substantial water supplies need to be developed. This is a complex undertaking. In our experience, water projects take decades to develop.
Good evening. My name is Christopher Thomas. I'm the executive director of HEAL Utah, a local environmental group. The problem is that we've got a lot of climate models that agree to a large extent that we're going to see a drier climate, less water in the future, maybe as much as 30%. Into the Colorado River Basin. And yet, I've noticed that our state officials, like our state water engineer, in his decisions, isn't relying on those climate models.
My name is Josh Woda. So, I came here from New York and can't believe how much water is being used in the state. So, why does Utah specifically use so much water? One of the main reasons is that Utahns don't, in fact, pay for water directly. Instead, water in Utah is subsidized or paid for in your property taxes. This means that you can virtually let your water run all day and pay absurdly low amounts for it. How is this okay? How can there be any incentive for the average person to conserve water?
My name is Lane Reed. I am here on behalf of Stonefly Society, which is a Wasatch regional chapter of Trout Unlimited. We would ask that the committee, as they make decisions in the future, be mindful of surface water and how it affects the healthy ecological systems that it touches.
My name is Jared Parkinson. I'm an independent water rights attorney. I believe our laws are directed towards beneficial use and not conservation. I think we really need to consider how our laws are applied, because that's what dictates the way people use their water.
Good evening. My name is Scott Robertson. I have been a resident of Salt Lake County for 20 years. Professionally, I'm a principal of Lewis Young, Robertson & Birmingham, a municipal financial advisory and consulting firm. I would encourage us to embrace the still true adage, if it isn't broken, don't fix it. Utah has the ability to develop needed water supply and to finance the associated costs to meet the inevitable increasing demands of the future.
Hi, my name is Robert Turner. I live in South Salt Lake City. I'm not here representing any organization. I'm simply here as an interested individual. Two things. I want to see water in our streams, sufficient water to support a healthy aquatic environment. And I want access to those streams wherever they are, so ordinary citizens like me can enjoy recreation on them.
My name is Danny Potts. I'm the current president of the Salt Lake County Fish and Game Association. We started in 1921, so we're older than dirt. And I can say one thing, that Kentucky bluegrass probably belongs in Kentucky. And quite frankly,
30 seconds.
It's just ridiculous. You go to Arizona and you don't see Kentucky bluegrass. You see appropriate vegetation for the kinds of ecology that you see there.
That was an audio postcard of people commenting at a public meeting about Utah's water future last night in Salt Lake City. The governor's office is still taking public comments online, and you can find a link at our website, kcpw.org. West Valley City voters have whittled a list of 7 mayoral candidates down to 2 contenders for the November ballot. Former Utah State Budget Director Ron Bigelow garnered 33% of the vote in Tuesday's primary election, while West Valley City Councilwoman Karen Lang took home nearly 18%. Outgoing Mayor Mike Winder's decision not to seek a second term comes as the city's police department is embroiled in controversy stemming from its drug unit. Winder's own tenure as mayor has been marked by his 2011 admission to using a false name to write upbeat news stories about his city for Utah media organizations. Winder has said he's not running again in order to better provide for his family, citing the position's $35,000 annual salary. Police have arrested a 30-year-old Utah woman accused of soliciting donations after falsely telling people her 4-year-old daughter had cancer. Vernal police say Abriel Winkler told people her daughter had leukemia and collected more than $3,000 in donations from fundraisers and individual donations. Officers began investigating Winkler in July and discovered her daughter had not been diagnosed or treated for any form of cancer. The girl's father told police he had not been told of his daughter ever receiving cancer treatment or a diagnosis. Police say in a statement that Winkler was booked into Uinta County Jail on a felony fraud charge. Vernal Police did not release additional details Wednesday. A lightning-sparked fire has destroyed 13 homes and threatens hundreds of others near Park City. The Summit County blaze was among several in the West where fires have devoured dry grass and brush and burned to the edges of small communities in several states. Shifting winds pushed the fire towards homes in the Lake Rockport Estates subdivision, about 10 miles outside of Park City. It destroyed a dozen homes on Tuesday, plus another home overnight. Fire officials say it also burned 20 outbuildings and several vehicles and boats. The fire has grown to more than 1,200 acres, or nearly 2 square miles. It is 5% contained. 2 Black Hawk helicopters are being used to fight the fire on Wednesday. And that's it for our summary of today's top local headlines. You're listening to The Rundown here on KCPW. I'm Roger McDonough. We'll be right back. And now on the program, we turn to a preview look at the Utah State Fair. The first was held just 9 years after the arrival of the pioneers, and a full 4 decades before Utah achieved statehood. Though fairs stretch back to before the founding of the country, state fairs didn't pop up until around the middle of the 19th century. It's worth noting that up until the 20th century, the vast majority of Americans supported themselves through agriculture, and state fairs were more than just a diversion, but an important societal exchange. By 1940, the number of people living on farms had dropped to a quarter of the U.S. population. Today, just 2% of the population makes its living through agriculture. And for most, seeing farm animals is about as common an occurrence as seeing the ones found at the zoo. The Utah State Fair migrated from venue to venue until the turn of the last century, when it arrived at its current location. I spoke with the fair's Jeff Coring to try to get a sense of what to expect at this year's fair. So, Jeff Coring, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
The Utah State Fair is coming up, and I was hoping you could tell us when it is, where it is, and what's on the program for this year.
Yes, so it's coming up right around the corner. It's the Great Utah State Fair, so it's the big one. And that one is – it's coming up on September 5th, so it's the 5th through the 15th. So it's 11 days, pretty much 11 hours, you know, every day.
Oh, this is the state fairgrounds, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. The Utah State Fair Park.
And what kind of, you know, what's on the program for this year? What is the fair highlight this year?
So we'll have all of the usuals, those that that you come to expect to experience at the fair. So all the animals, all the 4-H'ers, those kids come out with their animals. So animals are certainly a big attraction. But then food. The crazy food, and then lots of great entertainment acts, some that are new to the fair, things that we haven't had before.
Great.
And those would include I guess new at the fair this year is the Kahuna Beach Party. So we have 3 events in the grandstand stage. There are more audience participatory events. So Kahuna Beach Party. It's a Beach Boys cover band. We're going to throw like several tons of sand on the ground and have a big beach party.
Wow.
And you can get up and dance and sing with them. And so that'll be a lot of fun. That's on the final Saturday, the 14th. And then we also have the TV show American Pickers.
Oh, they're coming by.
And people are welcome to bring. We encourage folks to bring items that they could potentially, American Pickers folks could potentially buy from them there on the spot.
Well, that's great. So they're going to show up at the fair and look at your junk and see if they want it.
Yep.
Is that the
treasure
that,
or trash?
Yeah, exactly. So I actually wanted to talk about the food for a second. The kinds of what are the sorts of things that we expect from a state fair? I know that you've got like your corn dogs and your.
So you're going to have all the usuals: the hot dogs, the corn dogs, French fries, burgers. People come to expect the crazy foods from the fair, right? So these vendors, that's what a lot of them do. That is their job. They just tour around the country going from one fair to the other, and they have these specialty items. So for example, we have Rocky Mountain oysters.
Oh, wow. You just have to know what that is, or I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah.
Those of you listening.
chocolate bacon waffles. That's like our biggest or strangest food item this year. And then we have some like deep fried. So the other usuals that people have, deep fried Twinkies, deep fried Snickers bars, deep fried bananas. So and I'm not sure, but I think we have deep fried Jell-O again. So anything that you could put in a deep fryer is usually at the fair.
I can't believe you can deep fry Jell-O. It doesn't disintegrate. I'm sure you have to prepare it a certain way.
Yeah.
Sounds like it should be a Utah original.
Well, there are some Utah originals, one being the, as we call the church potatoes contest.
Right. Sometimes we call them the funeral potatoes.
Funeral potatoes,
yeah.
Yep.
Got it. Wonderful. Contest, so you can – it's a cook-off kind of.
Lots of those.
Okay.
So there's governor's favorite muffin contest, and the governor will be there to judge. Then several barbecue cook-offs. And both indoor and outdoor cook-offs, like Dutch oven So,
are those things that people can get to eat, or is it more like competition for the judges?
Attendees get to. They all of these folks that enter this contest have samples available. So it's in our specialty tent. So the contest takes place, and then all of these folks are there in the tent where anybody can come in and sample their food.
I want to just talk about how you have the new track stop just outside of the fair. It's probably going to make it easier for a lot of people to get there and, you know, better for parking.
We're really excited about tracks. We've already seen an impact with some of the other events that we've had, some concerts and, for instance, the Warped Tour. There was a lot of our guests that took tracks to come to that event. And we're going to see a lot. We expect to see a lot of people taking tracks. And we are working with UTA. We will be UTA will be offering a ride back, free ride back. So if you take tracks to the fair, then your return trip is free. So we'll have those details on that on our website and on UTA's as well. But so we're really encouraging people to take tracks. You know, we certainly have parking, but there's not enough. Then it flows into the neighborhood, and you know that gets full of cars. So tracks is a good thing, and it's a good thing for the corridor itself, North Temple, and we want to be at the forefront of that development in with the fairgrounds property.
And it's literally right there, right? That's called the fairgrounds stop.
Yep. Okay. So that's right there, and it's probably 20 yards to the gate. Walk from the track station to the gate.
Hey, I was going to ask you about how the state fair showcases sort of regional local farms and things like that, because there are guys who show up with their livestock and such. But I'm wondering if that helps them promote, or obviously there's awards that are given.
So as I mentioned, the 4-H'ers, the kids. They raise the pig, the cow, the goats, chickens, and they're entered into contests. So they get Blue Ribbon Award for best, the judging, best cow. And same with farmers and ranchers. They have that opportunity as well. And then we have an auction there. So they have the opportunity to showcase their product, so their animals, and various organizations buy them. So they'll buy the livestock right there at the auction.
So the 4-H'ers are raising their livestock as sort of almost like student kids raising the livestock. And so they get judged on what they've done. And then there's sort of the next level up, which is professional farmers being judged as well.
Yes, both. Okay. Yes. And it's really neat for the 4-H'ers because that teaches the children responsibility. And, you know, they have to care for this animal. And then they obviously win a reward and prizes and that sort of thing. So And they put those up, too, so people can actually buy their animal if they're not too attached and want to keep it.
It seems like the Utah State Fair has been around for a long time. You know, as far as the history of the State Fair, how long ago did it come into being, and how long has it been going on for?
This is the 158th year. It started in 1856. The Deseret Agriculture and Manufacturing Society was incorporated with the purpose of promoting the arts of domestic industry and to encourage the production of articles from the native elements in Utah Territory.
So like what you had growing here and...
Yep. So that was obviously a means for farmers, ranchers, to showcase their product and to sell. And so that started in 1856. And it's changed locations a few times. But to go back to when you said fairgrounds, well, it used to be called the Utah State Fairgrounds. So in 1988, we changed the name to Fair Park. So I still call it fairgrounds.
I've got to get it in my head. I think I've referred to it as fairgrounds several times. Okay, so the Utah State Fair Park.
Yeah.
So 1856 is a long time ago, and it's obviously, you know, it predates our statehood by decades. And so at the time, it obviously wasn't the Utah State Fair, but the tradition has been ongoing year by year since 1856.
Yeah, and it was officially called the Deseret Fair. And there was a time when it was in a social hall, and then it was in the 13th Ward Meeting House that was on 200 South.
Oh, wow.
So it's been in various different locations And then 1902 is when the land that we're currently on was purchased, and that's when it moved to what's now referred to as the Fair Park.
Okay, so that's it's been there for 111 years.
Yeah.
Fairs in general, they're across. It seems like obviously every state and many counties have these fairs. It seems like it's an American tradition. I don't know if you can speak to this, but I'm wondering if it's something that's common the world over.
So the intent of a fair, whether it be nationwide or worldwide, is really for a local local community event. I think is how is why we have fairs, is to bring the local community together in one place to celebrate traditions and history.
And maybe bounty as well, kind of agricultural bounty. How many people do you expect will attend, and what has been your sort of historic attendance?
So we're right around last year was, I believe, 284,000 people attended the fair. So we're looking to get 300,000 this year. And we can actually sustain up to 400,000. So with our population and our grounds and footage, we could actually go up to 400 and still be, you know, comfortable.
Well, that's interesting. Do you guys expect to see a time in the future where you will have to leave the fairgrounds? The state fair park.
I think, yeah, the state fair park. No.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say so. I don't think that – I think we love the location where we're at, and I think the community loves it. I know the Rose Park community really likes to have that there, and I don't see that ever moving. I don't think that we'll ever get to the point where we are so big that we're bulging at the seams, let's say, and would have to move. I think that with our population and – I think that there's enough room on that property to where that's not a concern, and we fully intend to be there, long term. But as you know, there's lots of discussion about that property, right?
Right. I think they'll turn it into
developers are salivating over getting that.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So you mentioned that there's a couple of acts coming. That you mentioned the Beach Boy Beach Party, but what are some of the other highlight acts that are coming?
One act that we're really excited about is a local band, Caleb Chapman's Crescent Super Band. They are coming to the grandstand stage on September 11th with special guest Pancho Sanchez.
All right.
So that'll be a great show. And that is actually a free event. So as long as you buy a ticket to get into the fair, then you can get a reserve ticket to see that show. And that's on Wednesday, September 11th.
So remind us one more time what the dates of the fair are and how people can get tickets.
So the Utah State Fair is just around the corner. It runs September 5th through the 15th. So it's 11 days. And tickets, you can purchase those at all Smith's food and drug stores at a discount. You can buy them online at utahstatefair.com. You can also come to the fairgrounds and purchase them. And this is also the fair admittance tickets, and also the various concerts that we have are available online.
Great.
So Smith sells carnival wristbands and admittance tickets. Or you can just show up and buy them in person at the gate.
Great. Well, it sounds like a fun event. I want to thank you for coming in and speaking to us about it, and we'll see you at the fair.
Thank you.
That was Jeff Coring of the Utah State Fair. You can hear this and all of the conversations we feature on this program at our website, kcpw.org. And that's all the time we have today. Our show was produced by Lauren Colucci. We had additional help from Jesse Ellis and Mr. Tyler Ford. Our theme music was composed by Tim Myers. Tomorrow on the program, tune in for a discussion with Salt Lake Comic Con founder Dan Farr about that upcoming convention. I'm Roger McDonough. Thanks for listening. The Utah Business Report and Marketplace are coming up next.